जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोपाल जय राधा जगन्नाथ राधा।
दिस इज द लास्ट टाइम आई सिंग दैट सॉन्ग।
यू आर कैसे गाते हैं? मैं पहली
बार गा रहा हूं। नेक्स्ट टाइम आई विल लीड यू टू कम हियर।
या आई लिसन फर्स्ट टाइम राधा जगन्नाथ आई मान
राधा राधा कृष्ण
लड्डू गोपाल
आप
हम लड्डू गोपाल वी कैन वर्शिप लड्डू गोपाल
चार साल से
तो हमें अभी तो अभी मैं आज के सेमिनार दिल्ली में कराना है नहीं जो थोड़ा आपका बाय दे 40,000 रुपए खर्चे तब क्या है सिर्फ प्लॉट है कुछ अंदर का उससे पहले 20,000 अब क्या करीब 40,000
एक पर्टिकुलर साल में
जन्माष्टमी के बाद होता है अभी होता नवंबर में किसका एक दिन बाद ही किसका महाराज का महाराज को अप्रैल एक दिन बाद ही है
जन्माष्टमी का नेक्स्ट डे जन्माष्टमी का
पहले नहीं किया होगा लेकिन अभी तक हमारा थोड़ा अभी हम बैठे हैं 40,000 रुपए स्पेशल खर्च कराने के प्रोवाइड कर देंगे जबकि अब क्या ना हमारे 5 करोड़ वोटिंग 55% सर्विस करेंगे 500 हमारे कांग्रेस यूथ और टेम्पल से वोटिंग मिला के 30-40 दो डिमांड टेम्पल से गए थे ब्रह्मचारी 5 करोड़
back in our constitutional position.
Like this, Mara?
That can go back in the case, actually.
Computer?
Computer can go back in the case.
Okay.
Yeah, the technicians have the cables off, so they take the cable from the ladies and check it.
He said everything will be complete by 2 o'clock, and I'll play that information process.
Later in the day, we have to make sure to come back here and test it out.
Chris got my cell phone number, so I'm always open. Listen, I should
be okay, but today we have to make sure it's working and everything. So, ship shape.
You were the one trying to get
us to find this one. Yeah, I told
you the person who runs the site. That essentially is so I asked maybe the way
it's
going to be.
It's not a problem to get to log on, but to register.
Yeah, that's for administrators.
Okay, so
No, in order to download it.
Download lectures. He's going to take it.
No, but I took it up for them online. And
he didn't finalize it, but he's
outstanding. He told me that actually I was already registered, I forgot. That's why they refused my it was a long time ago I had registered.
So I tried registering myself and I was doing exactly the same thing as having an issue. I just happened to meet one of the members this morning and
he gave me the name of the room where they're based. I haven't tried yet because I don't even know if I can do the job.
In 9th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. Chanting. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam tu te guhyatamam Prabhaksham yanasuyave Gyanam vigyana sahitam Yajgatva mokshase shubhat Raja vidya raja guhyam Pavitram idam uttamam Prachaksha bhagavam dharmyam Susukam kartum avyayam Ashradhana purusha Dharmasyasya parantapa Aprapyamam nivartante Mrityu samsara vartmani Mayatatam idam sarvam Jagadavyakta murtina Matstani sarvabhutani Nachaham te svavastataha Nacha matstani bhutani Pashyame yogam aisharam Bhutabrinna cha bhutasto Mamatma bhuta bhavanaha Yata kasha stito nityam Vayu sarvatra go mahan Tata sarvani bhutani Matstani tupataraya Sarva bhutani konteya Prakritim yanti mamikam Kalpakshaye punastani Kalpado visrajamyaham Prakritim svam avashtabhya Visrajami punah punah Bhutagramam imam krishnam Avasham prakritir vashat Nachamam tani karmani Nibadnanti tanandaya Udasina vadasinam Asatram teshu karmasu Mayatyakshena prakriti Suyate sacharacharam Etunanena konteya Jagat viparivartate Avajananti mamuta Manushim mantanamashritam Param pavamajananto Mama bhuta maheshwaram Moghasha mogha karmano Mogha jnana vichetasaha Rakshasima sarim chaiva Prakritim mohinim shataha Tumam partha Daivim prakritim ashrataha Vajantyananya manaso Gyatva bhutarim avhiryam Satatam kirtayanto mam Yatantascha dhutavrataha Namasyantascha mam bhaktya Nitya yukta upasate Jnana yagyena chapyanye Yajanto mam upasate Ekatvena pritaktvena Vahudha vishvato mukham Aham kratur aham yagya Svataham aham oshatham Mantroham aham evachyam Aham magnir aham hutam Pitaham asya jagato Matadhata pitamaha Devyam pavitram omkara Ritsama yajulevacha Gatir partha prabhu sakshi Divasa sharanam survit Prabhava pralayasthanam Nidhanam bijam avyayam Tapamyaham aham varsham Nigranam yutrajami cha Amritam chaiva mrityuscha Sadasatcha mamarjana Trividyamam somapa bhutapapa Yagyarishva svargatim prartayante Te punyam asadya surendra lokam Ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan Te tam bhuktva svarga lokam vishalam Shine punye martya lokam vishanti Evam trai dharma manu prapanna Tathagatam kama kama lapante Ananyas chintayanto mam Ye jana paryupasate Tesham yityam yuktanam Yoga kshemam vahamyaham Ye pyanya devata bhakta Yajante shraddhayanvita Te pimam eva konteya Yajantya vidhi purvakam Aham hi sarva yajyanam Bhokta cha prabhureva cha Natu mam avijananti Tratve natas chivanti te Yanti deva vrata devan Pitrim yanti pitri vrata Bhutani yanti bhuteja Yanti madhya jano pimam Patram pushpam palam toyam Yoga bhaktya prayashnati Taram bhakti paratam Ashnami prayatatmanaha Yat Kodoshi Yadashnasi, Yat Kuhoshi Yadasi Yat, Yat Tapachasi Kanteya, Tat Kurusha Madarpanam, Shubha Shubha Palayarevam, Moksha Se Karma Bantanai, Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma, Vimukto Mam Upaishasi, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, Name Dresho Sinapriyaha, Ye Vajanti Tamam Vatya, Maite Te Shutapyaham, Api Che Tsuracharo, Vadute Mam Ananya Pat, Sadhureva Samantavya, Samyag Vyavasito Hisaha, Shipram Pavati Dharmatma, Shashvat Chantim Nigachati, Kanteya Pratijanihi, Name Bhakta Pranashati, Mami Partavya Pashrasya, Yepi Su Papayonayaha, Priyo Vaishasvata Shudras, Devi Anti Paramgatim, Kim Punar Brahmana Punya, Bhakta Rajarshayastata, Anitya Masukam Lokam, Imam Prapya Vajasvamam, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, Manyajimam Namaskuru, Mami Vaishasi Yukvaivam, Atmanam Matkarayanaha, Om Tat Sadati Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishad Su, Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre, Shukrishnarjana Sangvade, Rajaguya Yoga Nama, Namamodhyaya. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Much nicer on this side of the tree. Yesterday we were discussing how Krishna, how the followers of the Vedas go back and forth. Gatagatam kama kama labhante. They go to the heavenly planets, they come back down, they go up again, they come back down. In this way, they don't really get anywhere. They're going around in circles, they're coming up and going down like children on a Ferris wheel. Those who remember the Ferris wheel. Okay. So they're only getting repeated birth and death. Just they go up for a long time, come down, coming and going. Now Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Coming back to the pure devotees, Ananya chintayanto mam. They're always thinking of Krishna. Ananya, without any other object. Yejana paryupasate. Such persons are always worshipping Krishna. For them, tesham, nitya biyuktanam, who are always engaged in devotional service, yogakshema vahamyaham. I provide them everything they need, and I protect what they have. Prabhupada mentions Shema, such a devotee approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. And Shema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga, and when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable conditioned life. So this is yoga and kshema. The Lord preserving the devotee and supplying the devotee everything he needs. This, even for material necessities, we want to depend on Krishna. Of course, what is it? LIC, they've made this their motto, isn't it? Life Insurance Company of India. They've picked this line from Bhagavad Gita, yoga kshema vahamyaham. But we're depending more on Krishna and less on the life insurance company. All they can ensure is that some people will get some money after you die, but it doesn't do you much good. Prabhupada tells a story in this connection, which we've been reminded of, that one Arjunacharya, he was studying Bhagavad Gita, and he thought, this line can't be right. This vahami, because vahami means I carry. Vahami means I carry. So Krishna says, I carry what they lack. So the Acharya was reading this, he thought, this is not, can't be, you know, it's not that the Lord personally carries the thing. So he scratched it out and he wrote something else. Huh?
Karomi.
Karomi.
Yeah.
Means?
Supply.
I will do.
I'll do it for them. I'll supply. But not that I'll personally, you know, like an order carrier, carry their goods. So he fixed it, and then he went out to take bath. And when he was out in the river taking bath, some two beautiful young boys came to the door of the house, and they were carrying, you know, like on those bamboo carriers people use, you know, put some things on the side. So they're carrying all sorts of stuff, grains and ghee and, you know, everything. And they came to his wife and said, your husband asked us to bring these things for you. So that was very nice, but she saw that the boys were all beaten up. You know, they had been like caned. So she was, you know, aghast at these beautiful young boys, who's done this? And they said, well, your husband did this to us. We wouldn't, you know, he wanted us to carry it, and some he was beating us. So the wife was immediately sympathetic and said, no, you stay here. No, we're afraid. Your husband's going to come back. He'll beat us some more. No, you sit down and eat. And, you know, I'll take care of you and like that. So the boys took their food and then still they made their exit. And then the wife just sat and ate. The husband came back and saw his wife's eating. You know, in India you don't do that. They feed the men and the boys first, and then after everyone else has eaten, the wife will, and other ladies, they'll take their food. So he saw his wife was eating. And you know, what's gone on here? And how could you do that to those beautiful young boys? You know, how could you become so cruel? You know, the husband's like, cruel? What are you, you know? Those two boys brought all this nice food and you were beating them? How could you? Then he understood that Krishna says, I carry. So Krishna Balaram came and I was beating them. Means I'm crossing out, I'm scratching on their body, Bhagavad Gita. So then he understood, Krishna actually carries. Huh?
That makes it interesting, because I see sometimes some people underline in Bhagavad Gita, but is it okay?
I have no opinion in the matter. It seems to me I've seen I've seen Prabhupada at least writing in the margins, and maybe even underlining, I don't know. It's different, you know, the offenses you scratch out. You know, you're going to take something out and what Krishna said and do something else. That's the offense. Whether that, you know, yellow highlighters and underlines and so on, that's a different thing. Something else. Yes. Ah, it's there in Bhurijan Prabhu's book, Surrender Unto Me.
The story is there.
Okay, the story is there. Somehow I didn't have that book this year. Last year I relied on it quite a bit. Very good book. Those who don't have Bhurijan Prabhu's book, Surrender Unto Me, highly recommended. Any other questions or points?
Krishna is saying he carries what they like. Does it mean that he will carry whatever is required for the spiritual advancement, or that's what it means?
It can be also taken that, you know, from our material necessities, I'll depend on Krishna. Krishna will provide. And also for my spiritual necessities, Krishna will provide. I don't have to go elsewhere than Krishna. Krishna, what is that? Two items of surrender. Krishna will maintain me, and Krishna will protect me. Something else? Okay. Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shradhyanvita te pimam eva konteya Yajanti avidhipurvakam. Now we come back to those who are worshipping the demigods. They don't depend exclusively on Krishna. They become devata bhakta, devotees of various demigods. And yajante shradhyanvita. They actually have faith in those demigods. They're not just idol worshippers. They're serious idol worshippers. That is to say, they worship the deities with great faith and devotion. And Krishna says, Te pimam eva kontya. Actually, they're worshipping me. But, yajanti avidhi purvakam. In the wrong way. Avidhi means according to the rules. And avidhi means against the rules. Does someone know an example Prabhupada has given about that? Yeah, Prabhupada gives the example of bribing the government officials instead of following the government laws. Some other example? Someone know? Yes? Yeah, if you try to water the leaves and branches instead of watering the root, that's avidhi purvakam. That's not the way you water a tree. You can say, well, I'm watering the tree, but you're doing it the wrong way. Good. Yes?
Supplying food to the stomach, not to the other part.
Yeah. If you think you're going to put the food in your ear, that's avidhi purvakam. It may be a hole, but that's not the way you do it.
But there are so many scriptures, like if you take Shiva Puran, there it says Lord Shiva is the supreme person.
There may be, but we're taking Bhagavad Gita.
So how do you explain to them?
That Bhagavad Gita is accepted by all the acharyas, even Shankaracharya, Sarvopanishad Ogavo. They may accept or not accept, but we're accepting the authority of Bhagavad Gita. And generally, any Hindu will accept Bhagavad Gita. You know, they'll at least give lip service. We're following Bhagavad Gita.
These demigod worshippers, they think that their demigod is the ultimate god.
They may think he's the ultimate god, or they may think there's no difference. Any god you worship, and this is the one that I love, it's all the same. Prabhupada gave one other example, which is very nice, and people will understand it quite easily. That when we come before the spiritual master, what do? We touch his lotus feet, right? So suppose someone says, Well, there's no difference between the feet and the head, so I'll touch the head of the spiritual master. That's a vidipurvaka. You can make the logical argument that there's no difference, but that's, you're still touching the spiritual master, but the wrong way. A vidipurvaka. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha natu mam abhijananti tatvenatas vyavantite. Krishna is very clear here that I'm the enjoyer of all sacrifices, sarva yajnanam. I'm the lord of all sacrifices. And those who don't get it, those who don't understand it, they fall down, tatvenatas vyavantite. Very clear. Any questions about this? Yes.
Why Krishna is getting pleasure from yajna? What kind of pleasure?
What kind of pleasure does Krishna get from yajna? Someone, what kind of pleasure does Krishna get from yajna?
A few days back you gave an example, like if a wife strives very nicely, takes up austerity to please the husband, and husband is pleased. Or if the children are doing extra work, then parents are pleased. Like that, when we do austerity, yajna, sacrifice, the Lord is pleased.
Yeah. Or Prabhupada gives the example that some child is getting an allowance, getting some money from the father, and he buys something for the father. You know, he buys a necktie or something. So does the father become very pleased? Why? Because he sees the child, there's some love there. The child has made a sacrifice. He could have spent the money for his, you know, whatever it is. But he spent it for the father. That means there's some love. So the father becomes pleased. Or they're sitting at the dinner table. The son says to the father, "Won't you take a little piece of cake?" So the father bought the cake, for crying out loud, you know. But he becomes very pleased. Oh, yes. Is it good? He takes it very happily. Because the son is offering. Child is offering. So in this way, it's not, the real thing is the love. There are people who are offering ritualistic yajnas, and that's also all right, at least they're beginning to offer to Krishna. But the real element that makes Krishna interested is the love and devotion. That's the real thing. And we'll come to that in a couple of verses. Any other question? Okay. Another very favorite verse of Srila Prabhupada, from Srila Prabhupada. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitrin yanti pitri vrata, bhutani yanti bhutejya, yanti mad yajanopi ma. Who'd like to explain? Okay, you're on.
You get what you deserve.
Well, that's a pretty brief explanation.
It's a big fan club. Whatever you focus your attention on, that's where you're going to go.
Wherever you focus your attention, that's where you're going to go.
If you worship the demigods or the ghosts or Krishna, you don't go to the same place.
You don't go to the same place. True.
What you sow is what you reap.
Well, yeah, that's a very general statement. But more to the point, it's not that you go to the same destination. Yes?
Those who worship God, just in such a kind of consciousness, they will go to that place.
Yeah. What's the example Prabhupada gives? Typical example that Prabhupada gives about this?
If you buy a ticket, buy a plane ticket. For a particular destination, you don't go anywhere.
Yeah, you buy a ticket to a certain destination. It's not that if you're in Delhi and you buy a ticket from Calcutta, you'll wind up in Baroda. But people think that whatever spiritual ticket you buy, you're going to get to the same destination. It's crazy. You buy the Delhi ticket, you'll go to Delhi. You buy the Calcutta ticket, Calcutta. You buy the Chennai ticket, you'll go to Chennai. Not that any ticket you buy, you wind up in Chennai. Doesn't make sense. But although it makes no sense materially, people think that when you come to the spiritual platform, and whoever you worship, you get to the same destination. Krishna is very clear about it. If you,
Prabhupada say another example is those women say all is my husband is a prostitute.
Excuse me?
Woman who says that all is man is my husband is a prostitute.
I hadn't heard that before, but yeah, okay. Woman who says there's no difference, you know, one man and another, she's, what is that? Yes.
Can you tell something about worship your ancestors go to ancestors? This is what I never understood.
Yeah, there's a particular planet that Prabhupada's referring to here called Pitri Loka. And I'm not quite sure what one has to do, because everyone who's gone is an ancestor. But it's not that everyone's on Pitri Loka. So Pitri Loka is considered an auspicious planet, and some people, some ancestors are qualified to go there. Aryama Pitrinam Aryamas Chasni. Among the Pitris, Krishna says, I'm Aryama. He is the head of that planet. Yes, he's the head of that planet. He served when Yamaraj became Vidura, then Aryama took over and was ruling Yamaraj's place. I'm not sure, but Prabhupada says one can attain those planets by performing a specific yajna. That's the point. There's a particular kind of place. You can become a Pitri, and you can go there. I'm not quite sure what one does to get there.
One side information, by the way, information, Pitri Loka region is about 98 yojanas from the surface of planet Earth.
Yeah, it's down.
Down
or up?
Up.
Yeah. Pitri Loka. A little bit up.
One should not be making whistling sound, etc. It cuts the ether.
Cuts the ether and...
Rubbing of the feet, clanking of the utensils, rubbing of the feet and whistling sound. It cuts the ether and attracts the pitris.
Acha.
Or just scratching the pot.
Yeah.
Oh, scratching pots is awful. I'm so glad there's another reason not to do that. People who serve prasadam, and while they're serving, they're dragging the pot so they make that, you know, chalk on the blackboard sound. Oh.
How many years ago?
98.
Yes, Vasudev.
So, in other words, it has nothing to do with the ancestors in one's family lineage, for example.
It has something to do with the ancestors, but I don't know. I'm unclear about how one gets to the Pitri Loka, whether it's your ancestors or somebody else's ancestors. It's Pitri Tattva is a little bit cloudy for me. Yes. Yeah, it's a pious place. You have to have pious activities to go to Pitri Loka. Not everybody gets there. Yes. Can't obtain a gross body?
Yeah.
No, the ghosts can't obtain a gross body. Pitris is
far. Very simple, can't obtain a gross body, so they get stuck in Pitri Loka.
I don't know that Pitri Loka is like that. The ghosts, certainly, that's their problem. Pitris, as far as I know, is they're pious. Yes. And ghosts are not.
I mean, if you don't distinguish, those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors, and then those who worship ghosts.
Yeah, the ghost people go to the ghosts, and the Pitri people go to the Pitris, so there's a difference, definitely. Yes.
There is a tradition in India, like they do this ritual, where they offer pindam.
Yes.
But mainly for the ancestors, so that they get liberated from the sinful reaction.
Yeah. But I'm not quite sure how that fits with the Pitris, that's the question. But there is such a planet. It's mentioned in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, its location, huh? How many yojanas it is above the earth. One can go there by worshipping the Pitris and performing a particular sacrifice. So you can go there. The thing that we need to know is that there are different destinations. Devaloka, we know, are the heavenly planets, like Chandraloka or Indraloka. Then there's the Pitri Loka. Then Bhutas. Bhutas are the ghosts. And we see that there are people who are worshipping ghosts, especially in like villages. We find that people are practicing some black magic or black arts. Every now and then there's some newspaper items. Somebody cut up his neighbors into little pieces and, you know, is worshipping some sort of ghost. So there are those, not just India, but in various places, who worship ghosts. And they, of course, wind up becoming ghosts themselves. But Yanti Mad Yajanopi Mam, those who worship me come to me. Not that everybody comes to Krishna, but according to whom you worship. And Prabhupada just uses this verse again and again, because this misconception is always there. Any path, yatamat tatapat, whichever way you go, you come to the same conclusion. And Prabhupada is emphatically saying that that is simply not so. And Krishna says that it's not so. If you worship the devas, you don't come to him. If you worship the if you worship him, you come to him. And that same point he made in the 8th chapter, that according to your yam yam bapi smaran bhavam jajachyante kalevam tam tam evaiti kanti, according to the consciousness that you've developed, where you've pointed your consciousness, that's where you go. Not that whatever you do, you wind up in the same place. If someone becomes an associate of Lord Shiva, of course Lord Shiva's, mostly his associates are ghosts and those unusual beings. But by the mercy of Lord Shiva, usually by his mercy they may get another gross body, or by the mercy of Lord Shiva, one may get, just like the Prachetas. They met Lord Shiva, and he has his own sampradaya, Rudra sampradaya. So he's a Vaishnava, and approach in the suitable way, he'll give instructions for going back to Godhead. Vaishnavanam yathasham. Is that okay? Something else? Yes?
Along these 14 planetary systems, main planetary system, 14, Pitraloka falls under any
other? No, it's not one of the 14. It may fall within one of the 14, that I'm not quite clear on, but it's not one of the 14. Okay, something else? Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachkati tadaham bhaktu paratam ashnami prayatatmanaha. This verse is very sweet, very much appreciated by the devotees. I think you're all familiar with it. If you're not, you certainly should be. Krishna says, I accept even this small offering, whatever it may be. Bhaktya, the essential ingredient, is love and devotion. Otherwise, without love and devotion, he's not interested in accepting anything. He indicates what he wants. There's no mention of fish or meat or other such things, fruits, flowers, cauliflowers, that's another flower. Fruits, flowers, water, leaf, tulsi leaf especially is very dear to Krishna. So these things Krishna will accept when there's devotion. Otherwise, even if you're, just like he went to the house of Vidura, maybe you know the story, Vidura was in such ecstasy that Krishna had come that he started peeling bananas and offering Krishna the peels. And Krishna, all right, devotee's offering, he started eating the peels. Or otherwise, Vidura, he was eating very simple food and Krishna was accepting. But Duryodhana, with his big, you know, royal opulence, couldn't get Krishna to take anything. Krishna is interested in accepting from his devotees. Yes?
Any reason why Krishna doesn't mention grains and vegetables in this verse?
I don't know. Why doesn't mention grains and vegetables?
I think...
Hmm?
I'm going to say because
Krishna wants to give the opportunity to everybody, irrespective of their financial position.
Yeah, Krishna is selecting certain things like water. Oh my God, if you can't get some water, what's wrong with you? Somebody says, well, you know, I can't get it together to get grains and vegetables. Krishna says, all right, how about a flower or a leaf? Huh? Or a fruit? You know, they grow on trees. Just pick a fruit, take a leaf, some water even, and I'll accept that. It means Krishna's ready to accept the most simple thing. Some other question? Yes?
Correction. What I said earlier was a hearsay, but now in Bhagavatam I say it's something else.
What is it?
In Bhagavatam 5.26.5, the great sage Sukadev Goswami answered, all the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhodaka ocean. They lie on the southern side of the universe, beneath Bhumandala and slightly above the waters of Garbhodaka ocean. Pitri Loka is also located in this region between the Garbhodaka ocean and the lower planetary systems. All the residents of Pitri Loka, headed by Agnishvarta, meditate in great samadhi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always wish their families well.
So I was right to begin with. You misled me. But fine, you're setting us straight now. So Pitri Loka is below the earth, not above. But it's still a fortunate place. It's not a hellish place. Yes?
Editing point. Before it was Pitri tree.
Oh yeah, that's there in 10th chapter. Pitri Nam Aryamas Chasmi. In the purport it says that there's a planet of trees. And it was supposed to be pit trees. Yes.
Prabhupada sometimes refers to the subterranean planets.
Yes. Subterranean means below the earth.
Yes. So is that the lower planet,
yes,
the hellish planet?
Yes.
But it's subterranean heavenly planets.
There's subterranean heavenly planets also. That's called Bilvaswarga. It's not that only below the earth there's hellish planets. There are subterranean heavenly planets, but they're dark. The only light is from the jewels on the hoods of the Nagas. Everybody's engaged in household life there. They think everything's real fine. They don't think about death. And then, boom, death comes and that's it.
So they
it's heavenly, but it's like a reflection of the heavenly planets. The very pious, fortunate persons go to heaven, and some other guys, they get to go to a heaven where there's no light.
The next verse says, Pitri Raja is Yamraj. The king of the Pitas is Yamraja, the very powerful son of sun god. He resides in Pitri Loka with his assistant.
Acha, how about that?
Yamraj resides in Pitri Loka.
Okay. While we're talking about editing issues, if you look at that first paragraph for the purport of text 26, for the intelligent person, it's essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That entire first paragraph does not appear in the first edition. It was recovered from, it appears in the first abridged edition. The first edition that came out in 1968 from Macmillan with severely abridged purports, no Sanskrit, and so on. In that edition, this paragraph was there, but in the first unabridged edition, it was not. So it's been recovered for this edition, which is just terrible, isn't it? Okay, any other questions here? Very important verse. Then here, Yat Karoshi, Yadashnasi, Yat Juhoshi, Didasi, Yat, Yat Tapasyasi, Kaunteya, Tat Kurusha, Madarpanam. Everything should be done for the Supreme Personality of God. Some questions? Shubha Shubha Palayarevam Mokshase Karma Bandhanai Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukta Mam Upaishasi. One is liberated from both pious and impious activities. Shubha Shubha Palayar Evam. The pious reactions are also a form of bondage, karma bandhana. If you're stuck in hell or you're stuck in heaven, you're still stuck in the material world. So here, Shubha Shubha Palayar Evam, when one works for Krishna, one is freed from both pious and impious reactions. Mokshase, Sannyasa Yoga Yuktatma. This is Sannyasa Yoga. And Upaishasi, Mam Upaishasi, you'll come to me. And Prabhupada quotes, Anasakshasya Vishayan, Vitarham Upayunvita, Nirbanda Krishna Sambande, Yukta Vairagya Muchite. Any other question here? Okay. Yayata, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, Name Dveshyosti Napriyaha, Ye Bhajanti Tumam Bhaktya, Mayi Te Teshu Chapyaham. This is Krishna in his equality. There's a chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that sixth canto? The Supreme Lord is equal to all. Where this seventh canto, where this topic is further elaborated. Krishna is equal to everyone. He's a whole bucky. He's kind even to Putana, witch. Although she was a witch, Krishna accepted her like his mother. He gave liberation to Kamsa, to Pantavakra, to this one, to that one, so many demons. So he's not inimical to anyone, and he's also not, doesn't play favorites. Prabhupada gives the example of a judge. It's like it said about Prithu Maharaj, that if his son wasn't a wrongdoer, he would not hesitate to punish him. And if his enemy was not at fault, then there's no question of his being punished. He was equal. That's how judges, that's how the government's supposed to be, impartial. Doesn't matter whether you are whoever you are, but you'll get equal, what do they say, equal treatment before the law. That's the principle. Equal treatment. And you see the picture, at least in America, they show justice weighing the scale and her eyes are bound. It means we don't look and see whether it's our friend or our enemy. We just give the fair treatment to everyone. So Krishna says, I'm like that. No one's my friend, no one's my enemy, I'm equal to everyone. But, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, mayite te shuchapyam. But I'm still, my devotees are a whole different story. Because they're in me, I'm in them. We read that before. Sadavo Hridayam Mayhyam, that lost verse. The devotees are in my heart, and I'm in the heart of the devotees. They don't know anyone but me, so I don't know anyone but them. So Prabhupada gives the example that children all get equal treatment from the mother, but one child who's like especially dependent and always crying for their mothers, it gets the mother's attention. Why he's especially dependent on the mother. So Krishna, especially, although he's equal to all, he favors his devotees. Any questions? If such devotional service is the internal potency of the Lord, so the Lord has such an attraction for the devotee. Not like an ordinary person. By the way, on page 435, this verse, Yeyatam Mam Prapajante, Tam Stataiva Bhajamyaham, they had it completely wrong. in the first edition. I don't remember. They had some other verse, which was clearly the wrong verse. This next verse, text 30, is very important. Apichet suduracharo pajate imam ananyapak sadhur eva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa. This point is very important, and it's established emphatically by Lord Krishna, and we need to understand it. Even sometimes it's simply ignored or misunderstood in the contemporary Vaishnava community. But one has to recognize this point. Durachar means? Bad behavior. And what's su durachar?
Very
bad behavior. Exceedingly bad behavior. Su is an intensifier. Su durachar. Exceedingly bad behavior. Api, che, even if someone is exceedingly wicked in his behavior, but bhajate mam ananya bhak, he engages in my service without deviation. He's completely dedicated to me. Sadhur eva samantavya. He has to be considered a sadhu. And Prabhupada comments, this word eva is emphatic. He must be considered a sadhu. Must be considered a sadhu. Why? Samyak vyavasito hisa. Because he's situated properly in his determination. The words sadhurebra, he is saintly, are very emphatic. And then Prabhupada quotes from the Nrisimha Purana that even if one is fully engaged in the devotional service, but he's sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, those activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. In the West, we see a man in the moon. The Indians see a rabbit in the moon. Shasha means rabbit. So Shashi, another meaning of word for the moon is Shashi, means the one that has a rabbit on it. So the moon, just because it has a rabbit on it, because it has some spots on it, that doesn't mean that we should deride the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. Someone has a copy of Bhrujan Prabhu's book? Can I borrow that again, please? There's some very pointed commentaries on this. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on verses 30 and 31. One might ask, but if someone's corrupted by such bad behavior, how can he be a sadhu? Reasonable question, huh? This is answered. He should be considered as such and thought of as a sadhu. He should be considered, mantavya, is an injunctive statement. That means it's an order. If this injunction is disobeyed, there will be unfavorable consequences. You're going to get it. In other words, the evidence for the truth of this is that it is simply my command. Well, someone might say, one may be considered a sadhu partially to the extent that he's worshipping you, but to the extent that he's usurping other men's wives and property, he's not to be considered a sadhu. This is answered by the word eva, only. He should only be considered a sadhu in all ways, completely. We should never view him as not a sadhu. His determination is completely fixed. I may go to hell or obtain an animal birth because of my unavoidable sinful reactions, but I'll never give up my exclusive worship of Sri Krishna. Such determination is praiseworthy. But, one might ask, why do you accept the worship of such an irreligious person? Why do you consume the food and drink offered by one whose heart is contaminated by lust, anger, and other faults? In response, the Lord says, he quickly becomes righteous. This is not expressed as he is going to be quickly become, or he will soon achieve peace. Rather, the present tense is used. He becomes, he attains. The Lord continues, this means that immediately after he commits impiety, he remembers me and feels remorse. He thus quickly becomes religious. He thinks, alas, alas, there's no person more fallen than me. I defile the reputation of the community of devotees. Damn me. And again, feeling remorse like this, he achieves complete peace and detachment. Well, one may say, if he actually becomes religious, there can be no argument about such a person. But what about a devotee whose behavior is wicked and who fails to give up his bad behavior throughout his whole life? What can be said about him? Always affectionate to his devotees, the Lord responds to this doubt with complete confidence and with some anger. In the words beginning, Kaunteya, Kaunteya Pritijanihi, my devotee never perishes. Even when he dies, he never falls down. To encourage Arjuna, who is disturbed with sorrow and apprehension over the thought that hard-hearted quibblers who indulge in false logic will not accept this, the Lord says, oh, Kaunteya, go to the assembly of these disputants and making a loud sound with drums and cymbals, raise your arms fearlessly and declare my promise. I, Krishna, am the Supreme Lord, and even if my devotee is wicked in his behavior, he will never perish. On the contrary, such a devotee is sure to become successful. Their bad logic will be shattered by this confident declaration. They will certainly take shelter of you as their guru. Such is the interpretation given by Sridhar Swami in his commentary. Someone may ask, but why doesn't the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself make this promise? Why does he instead deputize Arjuna? In the same way as the Lord will later say, without a doubt you will come to me, I promise you, because you are very dear to me. Why doesn't he say now, Kaunteya, I promise that my devotee will never perish? Here's the answer. At that moment, the Lord was thinking, I'm very affectionate to my devotees and cannot tolerate their being discredited at all. I will often break even my own promise and let myself be discredited to protect my devotees' promise. For example, I will soon fight with Bhishma and discard my promise to protect his promise. Thus, atheistic logical quibblers will only laugh if I now offer my own promise. But they will have to acknowledge Arjuna's promise as if it were written in stone. Therefore, I will have Arjuna make this promise. Any questions?
Could you please say, comment in the light of what you just read, Sharupa Goswami's chapter on the 64 qualities that qualifies one to be elevated on the platform of sadhana bhakti, and under which he is not considered to be a sadhana bhakti. He is not a devotee as such.
That may be sadhana. Rupa Goswami is describing, so he may not be in sadhana very nicely, but sadhana is less important, ultimately, than this point. That he's exclusively devoted to me. Krishna doesn't look and say, oh, right, he did this, he did that. Sadhana is good. Sadhana awakens the devotional mood. But if someone is exclusively devoted to Krishna, what does that mean? That's no small thing. To be... what is that? Samyak vyavasita, fixed in Krishna consciousness. Even if he does something sinful, Krishna says, I consider him a sadhu. You know, we look and say, oh, well, you know, such and such person, he, you know, he didn't do this or he didn't do that. We have to maintain the discipline. That's a different thing. It's not that the temples become places where everybody says, well, you know, my heart is with Krishna, so pardon me, but, you know, I'm not getting up for Mangal Arati. I had a, you know, kind of a heavy night with the marijuana last night. And no. Sadhana is to be performed. But this is also part of sadhana. If you read the principles of sadhana, sadhana means avoiding 10 offenses. There are more offenses. There's a whole list of offenses. But top 10. One of the top 10 offenses is? Sadhu-ninda. Where the hell is your sadhana if you're practicing sadhu-ninda? How do you expect that Krishna is going to give you his favor if you're going around doing sadhu-ninda? You know, you point to your record of sadhana. Look at that. It's a big blot on your sadhana. You know, you went around the deity room 3 times and you bowed down and you did all this. And then you went out and bad-mouthed the sadhus. Or a sadhu. Think Krishna doesn't see that? He says he does.
What about the misapplication of this verse?
Yeah, that Prabhupada deals with in his comment. It doesn't mean that you pick up this verse and say, well, listen, I'm a sadhu. You know, like the sadhus that you find in so many, you know, all over India. Well, sadhu reva. That's your ticket to doing any nonsense. What is that? That's also in the 10 offenses. Nam nad balad yasyahi papa buddhi. You know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna will understand. You know, I'm a devotee. Krishna will forgive me.
So is it almost like we shouldn't judge others, but it's between them and whether they're settled or not, but we should.
Yeah. Before we condemn others who've dedicated their life to Krishna. You know, how are we all that great? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amanina Amanadena. You can kill your whole spiritual life. You know, you can light candles and do parikramas, and you can kill your whole spiritual life on this one item. You don't need to practice anything else. Just practice sadhu-ninda, and you can finish your spiritual life. That's there in Nectar of Devotion. What is that? We have Shreya Kadeva Chandrika, the moon that gets bigger and bigger till it becomes the full moon of devotional service. If you'd like your moon to go the other way, do sadhu-ninda. It'll become the waning moon of your devotional service. Get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller till it's gone.
If someone shows like a tendency, do you just avoid them? Or?
Well, it depends on what your duty is. It depends on what you may avoid them or you may advise them if you're in the position to do that. If you're the authority, you may have to say, well, you know, I'm sorry, Prabhu, but, you know, wearing a sari is just not acceptable.
These days, it's seen pretty often that within ISKCON, to ban devotees is a very common practice. Is it appropriate or should we avoid it?
I'm not really going to comment very, you know, make generic comments about government actions, except to say that we have gotten ourselves in deep muck by sadhu-ninda. We have gotten ourselves in deep muck by sadhu-ninda. I will point out some specific examples, since this one has already been admitted. The way that people dealt with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, the level of, those of you who weren't around and were fortunate enough to miss it, the level of sadhu ninda there was no. B.R. Sridharma, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother. The level of sadhu ninda there was unbelievable. And there were people who arguably had catastrophes in their spiritual life on that account. And the effect on the society, Hare Krishna, on the society as a whole could hardly be described as wholesome. And I don't know that we learned our lesson, having done it once. You don't do sadhu ninda. And those who are in this culture, Indian culture, know that there are ways that you avoid doing that. Not only with sadhus, with any superior. It's simply a question of culture. It's not only sadhus, it's parents, it's uncles, it's older brothers, it's teachers, it's anyone who's in a superior position. They may be completely bonkers, they may be completely off the wall, they may be irksome to you, you know, agitating you or whatever it is. But you don't badmouth them. If you have any culture at all, you do not badmouth them. Prabhupada's sister, her husband was a lowlife. He was drinking and things. And people would say something, she'd say, oh, he's gone out. She wouldn't say, he's gone out drinking, he's doing this, he's doing that. The husband is in a superior position. She wouldn't do it. You find some other way around it. You button your lip. You say something like, you say something else that's good about the person. You say it's none of my business. You say I don't know anything about it. You say I'd rather not get into it. You say, well, you know, I've got my own problems. There's 14,108 other ways to deal with the misconduct of superiors than bad-mouthing them. And every cultured person knows that, and anyone who doesn't know it isn't cultured. Full stop. You don't badmouth sadhus, period. If you don't learn a damn thing else in this class, and you just learn this one point, the whole class, in my view, is a grand success. Just get this one thing down. We do not blaspheme sadhus. We don't. And if we're so miserable, unfortunate, uncultured, and stupid, and reckless in our spiritual life that we blaspheme sadhus, we don't do it in print. It's the last thing you do. To publish vilification of a sadhu? Are you out of your mind? You don't do that. Ever. And the internet is worse. At least if you published it, you published 50 copies, 100 copies, 1,000 copies. You published it on the internet for the whole world? Sadhu ninda? And I don't care who does it. Those back to Prabhupada guys. You know, where are they going back to?
Hell.
You know, the Prabhupada would be so happy that instead of we're publishing Back to Godhead, we publish Sadhu Ninda. You know, what is that? That's what Prabhupada would be pleased by? That you fill a whole publication with Sadhu Ninda? No, no, they're not sadhus. They did this, that. Didn't you read the book? I don't give a damn which edition. Read the first edition. It says the same thing. You don't do Sadhu Ninda. Where are these people? Whether you're out of ISKCON, in ISKCON, wherever you are, don't do Sadhu Ninda. It's wrong. Yes.
I don't understand really if you are devoted to Krishna and if you are devotee, how can you?
How can you? Prabhupada explains how it is that a person who's a devotee can do the wrong thing. He mentions, he does it by following the explanation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That generally, our material life and spiritual life go on parallel tracks. We organize our lives in such a way that things will go parallel. We get up early in the morning so that we'll be with the devotees and we'll be chanting the holy name and we'll be seeing the deities, we'll be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we'll be doing so many other things throughout the day that will help us in spiritual life. We follow the Varnashram system, which helps us in our spiritual activities. We perform some sort of work that's in connection with Krishna, dedicated to Krishna. We observe some practices and regulations that help us. We get married if that's going to help us, or we stay in the brahmacharya ashram if that's going to help us. We try to arrange our whole life in such a way that all the activities are going to be parallel with what we're trying to do in being devoted to Krishna. But sometimes there's a cross. Sometimes something happens where what's going on in the person's material life crosses over the line that he's trying to follow for advancement in spiritual life. The person may have been addicted to smoking. And, you know, he goes someplace and an old friend says, here, have a cigarette. Prabhupada, back in Second Avenue when Brahmananda Prabhu was the president, Prabhupada said, even if we see Brahmananda Prabhu walking down the street smoking a cigarette, still we have to consider him a sadhu. He wasn't doing it, by the way. But even if. Why? It means somehow, you know, he got it. It was intoxication, or it was a woman, or it was a this, or that. It's the material world. It's full of stuff meant to give you a hard time. And someone's not careful, or someone falls into a, you know, circumstance where all of a sudden he's alone with somebody that he shouldn't have been alone with. Or one thing happens or another thing happens. And although he's completely dedicated, he falls down. He messes up. But he doesn't think that, well, hey, this is better than Krishna consciousness, I'm going to do this. Although I was an illusion, I was missing out. No, very quickly he thinks, oh, I've blown it. He remains fit. And I can give you, you know, names of a number of God brothers, you know, where they had, and Madhuvisa Prabhu was one. I can mention his name because it's such a well-known thing. He's in sannyasa ashram, he had some problem with a woman. And some other devotees began broadcasting it. Prabhupada was furious at them. He was furious. He wasn't satisfied. Good, now you made sure that everybody knew so that nobody would be victimized. No, he was furious. Now he can never come back. And still he stayed with us. Very quickly. But they made it so difficult. They're not ordinary men. A person who dedicates his life to Krishna is not an ordinary person. And if you treat him like an ordinary person, you'll suffer. Says that in the book, Unfortunate Consequences, means you'll suffer for it. And you'll bring suffering to others. In Caitanya Charitamrita, what is that? For the offense committed by one man, the whole village was destroyed. Ramchandra Khan insulted Nityananda Prabhu. The whole village was devastated. What to speak of him? The whole village. Is that what you want to bring on your community? On your family? So pernicious. Sadhu Ninda is so pernicious. And we do it. You know, in the course of our ordinary prajalpa, you start talking. You know, I did a demo of this. We don't have time right now, I don't think. No, we don't. I did a demo of this in another class. You know, I gave people roles, and you start talking, and somebody says something favorable, and the person says, yeah, but you know, da 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 da. And pretty soon you're in a prajalpa session, and you're talking about someone who's dedicated his life to Krishna, and you're bad mouthing him. What is the result of that on your heart, on your relationship with Krishna? What does that do to you? It's so bad. And if you want it to be worse, do it to a senior Vaishnav. You know, if you really feel in a suicidal mood, take someone who's a senior to you, who's dedicated years and years of his life, and badmouth him. Because you are, you know, who you are, and you know what is what. If you really want to kill your spiritual life, try that. You don't do it.
Yeah, Prabhupada is talking about you should not derate a devotee who has had accidental fall.
Yeah.
But someone who is doing it regularly, like say every 1 year, and it's like
even then. That was there in Vishwanath Chakrabarti's thing. What if he throughout his whole life?
Story of Ajami.
Yeah.
Just super in that perspective.
It came back. Svalpam up yasya dharmasya. Dhruva Maharaj, his stepmother insulted him, and he became a devotee, and she had to suffer. He wasn't even a devotee, but he became a devotee, and she had her son died, and she died. Because she insulted a person who became a Vaishnav later. And you're going to insult somebody who's a Vaishnav now? I have extensive, if you'd like, an extensive discussion of this, you can look on my website. It's not in one of the little things. Oh, yes, I think it is, actually. Maybe it's on one of the things on the left-hand side, is it? Is it? Somebody knows? What is it called? Anyways, look on my website, search around, there's a search box, or it may be on the left-hand side. There's a... In my blog, there was a long discussion. Mostly not so much a discussion, it's me doing a monologue. But there are a couple of people who got in on the discussion and made useful contributions. And you can find extensive quotations from Shastra on this point, from Srimad Bhagavatam and from elsewhere, on this very point of Apichet Sudarachara. Quite a long discussion with lots of evidence. I'm not making this up. Yeah, that's also there. Jesus said, hate the sin and not the sinners.
It's a very controversial thing. What about valid websites like dandabats.com, which reveals the senior vice?
I'm not going to say anything about dandabats.com except that I don't go there. As somebody else mentioned, if I want to stay on track, I go to Amtrak or Indian Railways. I'm not going to say anything about dandabats.com except that I don't go there. And I forbid my disciples to go there. Any other questions?
So how do we deal with sub-devotees? Like if you take too much association, we know also develop those kind of things.
How do you deal with devotees who engage in sadhu ninda?
Apparently have fall downs repeatedly.
Well, how do you deal with them? Person who has fall downs. That's up to you. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's some discussion about that in regard to a person, gives up sannyas for a degraded life, says that one should avoid such a person, like a person who eats his own vomit. Or it says, correct him. You know, if you're really something, uplift the person. You know, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? A movement for slaughter? If we really think that the person is fallen, if we really think that the person is in difficulty, what about trying to help the person? That's the first thing. And if that fails, what about trying again? And if you're not strong enough to help that person, then keep your distance. Don't mix with a person. If you know this person has got a marijuana problem or a woman problem or a kid problem or, you know, one of the many other kinds of problems one can have, don't make him your intimate company. Avoid him. That's stated also in the discussion of how we treat different kinds of devotees. Rupa Goswami, this again is Vishwanath, I think, says that if a person is a Vaishnav, but he shows bad behavior, there's devotional service and goodness, devotional service affected by passion, and devotional service affected by ignorance. If a person shows bad character, but he's a Vaishnava, still you should offer him respect, but avoid his company. Offer him respect from a distance. But still we should offer, therefore he says, in the mind. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. A person who has the holy name of Krishna on his tongue should be offered respect at least in the mind. But if his behavior is bad, you may avoid his company.
Now, the question came in my mind, what about a person who does this, who does criticize devotees, then we criticize him, this is also...
Yeah, you know, it gets into criticism and have you read Fourth Canto? If you'd like some exciting reading, read the Fourth Canto about the Daksha Yajna, where Daksha, the father-in-law and therefore a superior of Lord Shiva, starts expressing his opinions about Shiva. And look what it resulted in. His followers cursed Daksha's followers. Daksha's followers cursed his followers. Shiva's followers. The whole yajna became just cursing and counter-cursing and cursing and counter-cursing. Sati committed suicide. And the ghost and followers of Lord Shiva beheaded Daksha. Caused the, you know, just turned the whole thing into a disaster. You know, and everybody's right, of course. But he said this. But he did that. And pretty soon everybody's cursing, you know. Everybody's angry and everybody's passionate and everybody's bad-mouthing everybody else. Where does that go? So no, you don't want to get into, you know, that, leave it alone. You get on your internet site and start criticizing those people because they're criticizing these people. You just got caught.
If you are in a position of authority and you have to protect the, like, you are a temple president and someone does like this, then you can take some action, right?
Yes, you have to take action if you're in authority.
That's a lot.
That you have to do. But that also you have to do with discretion. And not just that I've got authority, I've got a gun on each side, and I can do whatever I want, anybody I want. Or less gross than that, you know, I just got to be firm, I got to do this, I got to do that. And I got to publish, you know, everything, every last thing, you know, he touched her there, and then he touched her there, and then he touched her there, and then he touched her there. That's not your duty. You have to protect your people, definitely. You have to make sure they're not misled, definitely. Not victimized, most certainly. But not that, you know, everything just goes kablooey, everything goes to hell in the name of protection. No. That you have to, you know, humiliate old men in the name of protecting the society. You don't have to do that. There are other ways to protect. You don't blaspheme devotees who've dedicated their whole lives to the service of the Supreme Lord. You don't do that. People were so foolish, they engaged people to publish that Srila Sridhar was a Mayavadi. Because he was acting in a way that they perceived to be against their interest, or against the interests of ISKCON. Person who dedicated his whole life. That's not required. You don't have to protect your people that way. Find another way to do it.
Is it another way to mention what, like you're doing, mention the sin without referring to anyone by name?
There's so many ways to be discreet. You can talk about principles, you know, such and such thing should not be done. Be careful about such and such thing. If somebody has to be disciplined, you do it with such a way that it's not just, you know, unleashing your brahmastra, and you don't do it. Sringi did it for some small fault. This puffed up, uncultured son of a Brahmin cursed the king. Oh, he insulted my father, and he's only a Kshatriya, and my father's a Brahmin. He just invited Kali Yuga to take over the world. And Prabhupada makes the point, why? Because he's puffed up, uncultured, son of a Brahmin. He had some knowledge, but he didn't have culture. culture is so important. So you do what you need to do to protect people, but you don't go out there and start digging up everything that you can think of and publishing it to protect the world against this sadhu, so-called sadhu. You don't do that. One time, Srila Prabhupada, was quite critical about his godbrother. He was entitled to be. And one time, Hayakesh Maharaj, since we mentioned him in the morning, said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, how is it that such and such devotee, who is a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, could be such a rascal?" Prabhupada looked at him. "You have said the wrong thing. My Guru Maharaj never had any disciples who were rascals. I can call them rascals. You can't." Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Any more essays? It was indicated by noon. I can't say what we thought would be his input. Acha, that's true. That's very good. Yeah, your help was coming. There's some of us.
Myself, yes, sure.
Where are you?
Because if I don't.